And I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. Members of President Barack Obama's Hurricane Sandy Task Force will be in Rhode Island this morning, touring coastal areas hit by last year's storm. As Rhode Island Public Radio's Catherine Welch reports, westerly officials will be making their case for more financial help.
The South Coast took a beating, with 150 homes and 30 businesses damaged just in Westerly. Town manager Stephen Hartford says funding is needed to rebuild, elevate, and drain Atlantic Avenue, which was severely flooded during Sandy. He says Rhode Island may not have grabbed headlines during the storm, but it needs help, too.
You know, we know that there's going to be billions of dollars available for storm-damaged areas. You know, we know that most of that's probably going to go to New Jersey and New York, but we're hoping that some of that will trickle down to Rhode Island.
Hartford says Westerly could use about $7 million for the Atlantic Avenue project and to dredge Winnipeg Pond. Catherine Welch, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Rhode Island's General Assembly has adjourned for now without voting on the toughest gun control measures brought in the wake of the mass shooting at Connecticut's Sandy Hook Elementary School. Lawmakers chose not to address a proposed ban on semi-automatic assault weapons and high-capacity gun magazines. They also left on the table bills to change the permitting process for handguns and levy a per-gun registration fee. Gun enthusiasts lobbied hard against the measures, arguing they would be unfair to law-abiding gun owners. Supporters said the proposals would help reduce gun violence. An arraignment is scheduled today in Attleboro for one of the men accused of helping former Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez in the alleged murder of his friend Odin Lloyd. As Sharon Brody reports, Ernest Wallace was in a car with Hernandez and Lloyd on the day of his death.
41-year-old Ernest Wallace will face a charge of accessory to murder. Prosecutors say Wallace, Hernandez, and another man were in a car with Odin Lloyd hours before the 27-year-old Dorchester man was shot and killed in the early morning of June 17th. Lloyd's body was found in an industrial park near Hernandez's home in North Attleboro. Hernandez has been charged with first-degree murder. Wallace turned himself in to Florida police last week and was returned to Massachusetts over the weekend. So far, his attorney has not said if Wallace is cooperating with police.
That's Sharon Brody reporting from Massachusetts. And the Rhode Island Department of Health has shut down Spring Lake Beach in Burrillville after a group of swimmers got sick after swimming there on the 4th of July holiday. Health officials say they're investigating the illness and taking water samples. They add the pond does not have a history of high bacteria counts. The Department of Health is recommending that anyone who swam at the beach and is experiencing abdominal pain, fever, or vomiting should see a doctor immediately. Officials are expecting results from their water testing later today.
After a vigorous debate, the Assembly made history in April when it approved same-gender marriage, making Rhode Island the 12th American state to sanction gay unions. Regardless of your stance on what is an emotional and divisive topic that reaches deeply into the religious and cultural beliefs of many Rhode Islanders, it's nearly impossible to criticize the way lawmakers tackled this matter. Many hearings were held in the House and Senate. Hundreds of citizens, pro and con, thronged the State House and had their say. Lobbying on both sides was intense yet respectful. The process was remarkably transparent. At the end, 113 politicians, not known for their profiles and courage, thwarted the temptation to put the issue before voters. Instead, they did what voters sent them to Smith Hill to do, explain their reasoning to constituents and stand up and be counted. That same-sex marriage was handled in such an open and responsible manner stunned some of us who've become skeptical, even cynical, about the Smith Hill crowd's ability to get anything done. Even more astonishing is that a legislature that usually can't agree on any hot-button topic until the waning hours of a session dealt with gay marriage in April. Now, here's the bad news. Rather than using the marriage decision as a model for handling other difficult issues, the Assembly reverted to its usual pattern of sloughing off serious study, negotiations, and votes until the 11th hour when bleary-eyed lawmakers are forced to vote on hundreds of bills in a marble statehouse that in June and July becomes a sweaty sauna. The legislative leadership knew in January that next year's budget had a scheduled $2.5 million bond payment due on the ill-fated 38 Studios video game deal, but they waited until June to bring the issue to the House and Senate. on the complex and complicated problem posed by a default and the Wall Street response, the can was booted down the sidewalk once again with legislation that makes the first payment on this $90 million fiasco, but also requires a study of the financial implications of walking away from this debt. Leaders were also aware in February of the rebellion brewing on the east side of Narragansett Bay over putting tolls on the Saconnet Bridge. Yet, this for whom the bridge tolls controversy was put off and then left unresolved. There'll be yet another study, a 10-cent toll, and lawmakers will face the topic again next year. And lawmakers have been talking about moving the needle since January, but once again left major decisions on how the state will lure and create jobs until the very last minute. This 11th-hour flurry of legislation has become far too ingrained in how the Assembly does business. In the 21st century, there is no reason that voters should accept their lawmakers' shrugged-shouldered response, "Hey, we've always done it this way." Our lawmakers seem to have learned nothing from the marriage debate. Why does Rhode Island have to be a state that clings onto nothing so tightly as the status quo?